Hello, everybody. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. This is your first time. We appreciate you checking us out. I know we've had a lot of new people come in the last few months or so. Thank you to everybody that stuck around. And we hope to build this into something more. We've been doing it for 5 years now. If you want to hear the full archive of what we do, it's over on WCRSFM.org. Go to Programs and Street Fight. You'll get all the shows all the way back to 2011. If you just want to link to a Google Drive that has all of the shows in MP3 format, go to store.streetfightradio.com, where we do have the full archive of every show that we've done. We started this show at a time period when Barack Obama was drone bombing the shit out of the Middle East. The housing crisis was still fucking people over. Pensions were being, you know, drained. And we've now stepped into a much more accelerationist time period. We've moved away from the boringness of neoliberalism into a full-scale revolt against our GOP powers that are going to be reigning over us soon. So Street Fight Radio is Brian and I. My name is Brett Payne. He's Brian Quimby. This is our attempt to entertain everybody out there that's in the streets, that's doing the work, and to provide a place for everyone to join together, exchange names, and find people in your own area that like Street Fight Radio, that like Chapo Trap House, that like Delete Your Account, and This Is Hell Radio. For all the folks out there that fight in the good fight, the fully woke people out there that are non-hierarchical, we are here for you. So thank you for being here and supporting us the way that you do. It's been a fucking ride so far.
I know, it's weird doing leftist radio in the post-Trump world, because now we're like, we might be able to pull in some liberals. That's my new thing now. It's like, uh-oh, we might pull in some liberals here that we'll be able to crush in 4 years.
Yeah, I'm thinking that as well. Definitely more of those people are listening, because they didn't want to hear anything about America if it was Hillary Clinton running things.
Yeah, nothing bad about it. They didn't want to hear bad things. They still didn't. I mean, they didn't want to hear bad things about Obama. Every time you said, like, some of the stuff he does isn't that great, they'd be like, shut up. What do you think Donald Trump would do? Which is, we're going to find out. So,
yes, we'll have that there. So far, we have Steve Bannon, head of National Racism Department.
Yeah. Yeah. A whole lot of pointing out racist stuff. Like, for my comfort in the government now, is just like, man, there's an awful lot of guys who are counting all the races of all the people.
Right, that are worried about it.
Yeah.
Paying attention.
Yeah. But we're still going to hit the liberals, too. We can't not do that. So
no, the liberals are there to do a lot of the heavy lifting. I mean, Ronald Reagan helped try to draft the early revisions of the NAFTA. Bill Clinton was the guy that could slam dunk it in. You know, Joe Biden is the guy that set up the discrimination between crack cocaine and powder cocaine. Like, he's the one that put that shit into order. Three strikes, man, that's Joe Biden.
Yeah, so we're all there. We're definitely going to watch that. We're still going to pay attention to them. But so here's a story from the post-Trump somebody sent me, and it's a video. And it's not – I don't have, like, a long – It didn't have a long thing. All I can tell you is what happens in the video through the headline for you, Brett. And it's something we might be able to talk about. Gentleman warns youngster against wearing Sons of Anarchy vest.
Yes, this was a big deal, actually, when we shared it on the Facebook and Street Fight page.
Right.
Because they got accused of stealing Valor.
For Sons of Anarchy Valor.
Motorcycle Club Valor.
So General Motorcycle Club now is a thing?
Well, I guess he should have been like, make some shake and bake meth, man. Saw off a shotgun right now, or else you ain't in no motorcycle club.
That's like a look they won't let you have.
I feel
now.
Like you would like that, though. Like, wouldn't you hate some guy going out there to pretending to be a drug dealer and ain't ever sold a drug?
Me?
That's all the rappers, though, now, though.
There's just some middle-class dudes, man, that like...
Like the cut.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a cool looking cut, dude. All the stuff is cool without the baggage of the show around it, for me, at least. And I don't ever think motorcycle gangs are cool.
Well, I think that denim vest is way better than collared shirt.
Yes, yes.
And especially if I didn't have to wear anything under the denim vest, I would feel way more free than I do these days.
Yes, Yeah, so.
But yeah, I mean, motorcycle clubs got valor, right? I mean, they do stuff like the troops. They support kids that get cancer. They ride bikes, motorcycles for them.
They'll go
ride their motorcycle for anybody. They'll do it for any old body. Just give them a reason.
Do any of them ever ride just for themselves, really? It's usually for veterans or POWs or cancer.
I'll ride this goddamn motorcycle 1,000 miles. You give me a penny a mile. Fuck it, man. I'll do it. Somebody has to ride this motorcycle so we can get some justice in this country.
That is a good way to pay for your gas money.
That's true.
That's
like every mile I clock, I'm going to make somebody else donate money. We're on to something, I think.
Let's start a fucking motorcycle gang.
I know. We need one. I mean, it makes sense for Street Fight. It's a good way to run drugs.
Call it an MC. It's an MC. We won't even run drugs. We'll just do like toys for tots and shit.
We'll do Kratom.
It still has to have some crime involved to be
well,
a gang,
we'll
right?
No, we'll go to the illegal. We'll go to the illegal states. We'll roll in with it in our gas tanks. We'll stuff our gas tanks filled with like Kratom and fucking roll right into Louisiana and Alabama and just sell that shit.
Yeah, I don't think there's that big of a market for it there.
You haven't seen the Street Fight Radio's email. There's a lot of people that are tempting the shit out of me where they're like, man, do you know any way to get around this? And I just want to be like, if you bought a shirt from the store, maybe there would be a Kratom packet I might drop into it. Fellow there down in fucking Alabama.
Oh, my God. You're going to go to prison.
I know. I can't risk the time for not for that.
Not for Kratom. It's not worth it.
I would just take one day and drive to the border and get a kilo in like a neighboring state or something.
Yeah.
Get a P.O. box in a neighboring state and have a kilo delivered there.
That sounds like a lot of red tape, but it's the easiest way to get your hands on it.
Right.
You know? If you want it, man, that's what you got to do. I got to tell you something. You got to take so much of that stuff and it tastes so bad. But like, you know.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
You haven't stopped taking it.
I know.
I've seen all kinds of other habits of yours fall off and you've stuck with Kratom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same here. I mean, I consider it a part of my life now.
Yeah, I love it.
It's like a tool. But so Sons of Anarchy, I mean, if you're wearing that patch, you're also claiming that you like shot bazookas.
No.
Right?
You're claiming that you watch TV.
But to other people, that means more to them. You have to respect that guy's right?
I mean, I don't think that it hurts anybody to wear something that
the guys
on TV
wear. It's like a
Star Trek outfit.
It's like wearing a Star Trek uniform.
Exactly. That's the way I see it. Like, this dude, I mean.
He's cosplaying.
He wants to look. I guess
somebody should call those dudes out, though, man. You really don't stand up for dentists on motorcycles. Fuck them. Someone should chin check them.
Yeah.
Fuck them, man. They're fakes. Anyways,
this guy was driving a car.
What a fucking idiot. Yeah, he should have taken it off. You got a lot of nerve wearing a motorcycle cut around here driving that Dodge Neon.
That's the type of person
that's absurd.
That drives. The type of person that would wear a Sons of Anarchy cut drives a car. They don't have a motorcycle.
That's true. That makes sense. You're right, now that you say it. That's the logic.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone drove to the mall to go buy that from FYE.
Buying clothes from a TV show. That's the thing, is this guy just wants to wear a shirt from a TV show.
But here's the thing. Shirts from TV shows have been around forever. People buy shirts for podcasts even. But it's more of a costume because it's like a tattered black vest with like fringe around the edges and shit.
This dude's vest look crisp though.
Yeah, I mean it was.
This guy's. I'm
some kid in Bangladesh frayed those edges.
I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the page right now, and I can see the shine on that. It was the cleanest cut out there.
Yeah, he didn't roll around in his own shit and piss and vomit the way that the Hell's Angels do. He never bled on the damn thing. He's a fake, so he did steal the valor of our brave motorcycle heroes. He stole the valor of all the guys out there that are living an outlaw lifestyle that we all want to be them. All the man cave dads, they're like, keep riding up, motorcycle man. I wish I could do it. I got this damn roofing gig and this kid shit, man, but keep riding and doing shake and bake meth and puking all over your buddies and sleeping with whores, the beautiful whores that you're sleeping with. God damn it, man. Like, they're somebody to look up to. Like, they just are
somebody a part has of, to worship them. Like, yes. There's always going to be a section of society.
That's our white culture you're trying to take down, Brian. This is our shit, man. We don't got anything. What are we supposed to do? We can't copy other people's shit, man. This is what white folks do.
Yeah. Yeah. Old white guys. Old, crusty, mean that's white
not
guys.
There's so many crusty black dudes on bikes, though, too. There's, it's not really a race. It is unfair to make it a race thing. Because it's an attitude that people, man, you got to get on those things, but you also have to give up, like, hygiene and shit a lot to be authentic about it.
To be crusty about it. You're just a crusty motorcycle, dude. And, some fucking high school kid with a pair of Jordans on can't fucking go put on a fucking Sons of Anarchy cut.
No.
Which, by the way, like I said, if it was a real gang, I would get it. I guess there might be a new, like, some criminals started a Sons of Anarchy.
That would be nice. That's a good move because you could get away with it. Like, there would be no, how would they pin somebody down? They'd literally be tracking down, like, CPAs and then, like, multiple murders. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, guys that work at the oil change place.
Right.
The guys that do the
cash. You're one of the sons? And they chase him down.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's come down. So let's get a final ruling on this. Do motorcycle clubs have valor?
You're asking me. I'm going to say, man, they are. They're gang members. I have read a lot of stuff about motorcycle gangs. And they do a lot of crime. They do a lot of stuff. So they got crime valor for sure.
Yeah, they have outlaw valor. It's not exactly valor. They have outlaw status.
I just feel like they could be lenient on this this guy driving a Toyota Corolla.
Well, I guess the way that they is the problem is they didn't see it as an opportunity. This is like a young man with his foot in the door to the motorcycle club lifestyle. All you have to do is be like, sell that goddamn Dodge Cobalt, man. You can get you a bike and enough gasoline to drive to California.
People will pay you a penny a mile.
Yeah.
And then you'll get to go shopping at the toy store and give away toys to the kids.
Yeah. Every night, man, we eat at a spaghetti cancer dinner. We're fucking stuffed, man. Diabetes is the biggest problem. Too much high fructose corn syrup and that tomato sauce. It's killing the motorcycle lifestyle. People's getting too soft these days. They don't have to steal no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, I am.
So they threaten, like, teens.
I think when I was.
They threaten, like, 24-year-old guys. Yeah. They're just like, you know what, man? We ain't got no power anymore.
Right. Hey, buddy, commit a fucking crime or take it off.
People don't, like, fear the Hell's Angels anymore. Like, they don't even know who they are now.
Right. I mean, I've seen some scary bikers, but it's so sparingly these days.
Yeah, me too. I mean, there's scary bikers out there for sure. Yeah. For sure. I've been around some pretty scary bikers in my life.
I've been around actually more Christian bikers, though, than anything else.
They can be scary, though, too. There's a fine line.
Anytime I leave 270, if I go in the outer belt of, like, Columbus, I run into a Christian biker gang immediately.
Yeah?
Yeah, two of them. There's one out in Chandlersville, and then there was one out in Obetz.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because the guys pretty much spend all their time, like, bragging about how awesome it was when they were on drugs and alcohol. Like, as soon as they see me and that I have, like, tattoos on my necks and have a 13 tattoo and shit, they're like, oh, man, back when I was getting loaded, you know, we punched each other out and just shit on each other. You know, they're just going into this stuff. But I don't do that. And I would never do that ever again. I would never do it ever again.
It sounds like their parties are kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're squirrely, at least, so squirrely.
Yeah, you get to hear some, like, when I was in rehab, you get to hear some stories, and you're like, okay.
Right, right. If someone can get hit in the head with a frying pan for saying the wrong thing, it's like a more exciting environment, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't know if valor is the word.
It's crime valor. That's crime. True. I just don't. You know how I am with organizations.
You hate
man.
Motorcycles, just, too. You think they're too loud.
I do.
You think they hurt your eels?
I think they're mean dudes. I think like the Hell's Angels are mean crime guys.
Yeah.
I just am like, it's like a California thing. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I want to get caught up in their crossfire or anything like that. It's just one of those things that's like, there's just some crusty old dudes out there that can't stop committing crimes.
Yeah, that won't stop.
Yeah.
Won't stop committing the worst crimes and getting caught over and over again for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I guess I am a little bit afraid of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, hell,
it's like the mob. It's basically like the mob. It's anytime you join some organization for a party, in my opinion, it's like joining a political party or something.
I don't like
that.
I don't know, meetings.
We've brought this up about the mob all the time. It's like, you got to fucking show up to meetings if you're in the mafia.
Right, right.
Like, that doesn't sound great to me.
Yeah, and you have to wear those velour jumpsuits and shit. All the everybody has to dress up like you're in a fucking boy band.
Or you have to put on a suit, at least. You got to put on, like, there's a dress code. There's, like, a dress code. In the mafia too. It's like,
I'm the same way. There, when I was a kid, when I was younger, I got this really amazing Chicago Cubs hat, and I had like a pair of shoes that and jacket that matched it perfectly, the red, white, and blue theme. And my friend liked it and said he had liked it, and then he went and bought one. And when I showed up, I said, "Take that thing off your fucking head and take it back to the store right now." I don't do twinsies with nobody. I guess I'm just too, I just don't like, I don't like to all fit. I don't feel like we need to have a reason to fit in with each other. Like, we can be ourselves just fine.
Yeah. We don't have to dress the same at least.
We've
been looking into like Black Friday and about like looking at clothing. Like, we've been talking a lot about clothes lately, and I'm like, almost all of them are the same.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, that was a big part of being in D.C. is that any of those cheap clothing retailers like H&M, when you got on the metro, you would see four guys wearing the same like H&M shirt that was on sale in the window. You know what I mean? Like, everybody was living off the same discounts. Yeah. And people, the thing about work clothes is that they're fucking awful clothes you would never wear ever in your life anywhere else.
I never felt comfortable in my work clothes ever. Like, I never... I mean, I guess like I did lounge around in my Carhartt bibs back when I wore the bibs with sweatshirt under them.
That's comfy. I need to get those. I'm a cold guy. Put some feet on the bottom of those.
Yeah, I used to. You can lay around once you get them all worn in and stuff, man. They're soft. They're like a nice pair of like. It's like warm sweats.
Yeah. I need a lined jumpsuit, like one of those mechanics jumpsuit, but just have it lined like a Sherpa lining on it.
Yeah. You don't even need the jacket for the bibs. Like I was always like burning up like while I was working, like, oh, this is that's why I'm always cold. I like being cold now. I don't care. I just want to be comfortable.
Yeah, I hate fucking khaki pants, man. I think that they look
pretty much
fucking bad on everybody.
Get the black Carhartts.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I'm talking about work clothes, though. Like, you can't even get stylish. You can't even get a little bit stylish because someone will tell on you. Now, he has rhinestones on his pockets. Like, fucking mind your own business, okay? I'm not going to wear fucking pleated Dockers in here.
I really hate... Like, dress codes make me crazy.
I know.
One of the things I like about, like, all the work I do now and all the hustles I have now is, like, no dress code. Because I'm terrible. I'm wearing a hood right now while I record this podcast.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. And I know this probably isn't the most freedom-loving, liberty-minded, anarchist point of view. If you give people that much, they go way too fucking far.
No.
I've seen some casual Fridays where people had to get sent home because they went way too inappropriate.
Yeah. I've seen people like...
Half naked, cuss words all over their fucking clothes.
Who cares, though? You know?
people will come in fucking boxer shorts.
You gotta hire
if you said no dress code, people will come in boxer shorts.
That's where interviews come in. That's where they rely too heavy on drug tests.
That's true.
And stuff like that.
They need to do a gut test.
Man, you sit me down with somebody and tell me about their, just set me down with them. You know, hey, we'll see where they end.
Craig, this interview's been going great so far, but I got to get down to it. You're not going to come in your underpants, are you? No. If we tell you there's no dress code, I can rely on you to wear a pair of slacks every day.
You're not going to wear a Kid Rock t-shirt, are you? Like, right. Just don't do it. Just right. Wear, like, when you're thinking about wearing like a t-shirt hell t-shirt or something like that, think the other way.
Right. Right. Just go with something without.
Don't wear a funny t-shirt. Like, that I think would be my rule, you know?
No okay. Funny.
Hey, guys.
You no words.
Anything you want, but no funny t-shirts. I don't even care if they have words on them.
Just can't be attempting to be humorous.
Don't. Because you can't let people wear funny t-shirts to the job. They're going to, one of them's going to really go too far.
Yeah, I mean, saying that there's a sense of humor is I think, exaggerating. I mean, some people don't have any sort of receptor for it.
No. I mean, one person's going to have to wear something offensive.
Yeah.
Because it's like, dude, I got, like, there are people with whole closets full of offensive
pedophile shirts about pedophiles and school shootings and shit. Yeah. Fucking people that just can't get it up, can't give it up. They have to have a picture of, like, a cock and balls on their fucking shirt to make a joke about it.
Yeah, there are definitely, like, guys, there's guys with, like, all the female body inspector shirts for right. All the reasons, you know,
the different types of boob t-shirt. There was this t-shirt I remember vividly when I was in Myrtle Beach as a Hilton Head as a kid, and it just it was like the scrambled egg, and it had like these real flat ones that were hanging, and then it had like the bell, and it was just like about 18 different boobs and a name for them.
Well, I mean, I can't even imagine what I would do if somebody bought that for me. Like, how would I even look at
you gotta, it? That's something you buy. That's something you treat yourself to. That's something when nobody's around, you know, when everybody leaves, you fucking sneak into your drawer and go get your boobs t-shirt out. Fucking crack up. Crack the fuck up. Put it on and dance and crack yourself up.
When your wife's shopping or something right. Like that, you just sneak upstairs. Put your boob shirt on and go down to the basement.
Watch the thimbles. It says the thimbles.
No. Somebody gets that as a gift, right?
No, I think everybody. I think those people are. It's like single dudes that are just pretty much into themselves and are just going to buy that for themselves. I think. Or maybe, a dirty old man lady might give that to her old man, her ball and chain, right?
Yeah, that's probably where they sell it.
You're always looking at them.
Yeah, so my dress code is no funny t-shirts.
Okay.
I don't care how short your shorts are. I'm not going to lie, dude. Just, I don't care if you wear thongs in, really, as long as you cover your genitals.
You have to cover, the vulva and the testicles and the penis, right?
Yeah.
What about a thong? Can your ass cheeks hang out?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I don't really care. I mean, just I'm frowning against it.
I'm wet stuff.
It's frowned
The leaky stuff has to be covered.
Yes. It's frowned upon.
Frowned upon.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't want to make a rule against it, but we have to like all stand strong so that these people don't turn into fucking apes around
here. We have to frown upon stuff. Yes. Is what we have to do. That's how that's most of the laws out there is things that are like,
yeah,
we just rather you didn't do that.
Right. They try to, the taxes and the money and all that stuff, it doesn't work. I don't like fining people, but I think there is a strong message we can send to people that want to come to work naked.
It's like when people eat cheeseburgers in college, like when you're in a college class and there's like 30 people in a hot room and somebody comes in there with a cheeseburger and just starts eating it.
Yeah, dude, that's like fucking fries on the metro, man. It's just steaming in that bag. Smells awful. Like, it tastes great to the person that has it, but it smells awful to everybody else.
Oh, I know.
Or it's bragging, or you're like, damn, wish I had me an egg McMuffin. I agree. That one should be like, geez, did you bring enough for the rest of us? Bring a Crave case.
Does that happen at meetings? Like, when you're an adult, somebody comes rolling into a meeting at the office just chomping on a double quarter pounder?
I saw a commercial one time. Remember, McDonald's used to have those shaker salads. It was like a cup full of salad, And I think in one of those meetings, someone was shaking up a salad and kind of and eating one.
I would fire that person for eating a salad out of a cup.
Lunch meetings are a thing, but they usually don't involve the paper. They're always just like excuses to bullshit with each other.
Yeah, get to know each other. That's important. That's all you really should be doing. That's what work is for. In my, like, you get some things done and then you bullshit with some other people.
Yeah, but then but work encroaches in that because they would do shit like, hey, everybody, you know, don't go to lunch today. We're going to do a brainstorming session and buy pizza. It's like, oh, but I'm clocked out and you want me to talk to my coworkers about work and what we're going to do. I can leave, right? Why would you want to leave, Brett? We're just going to have pizza set here. I need to leave for a little bit. I need to go get an allergic reaction in my eyes.
That's why you were mad about it.
Oh, God damn it, guys. I hit my eye on a stick on the way back into the building, both of them.
But it's true. I told you when I was working, I was doing a job for a little bit where I would deliver food to people. And I was in the same building as this office that had a video game and a pool table in there. And I was like, man, that office is sweet. It's like working on a TV show. Like,
sure.
An Aaron Sorkin show.
Right. Yeah, this is that modern life.
And then when I spoke to anybody about it, they were like, yeah, they just do that because you're always there.
Yeah. Yeah, they would do at the sales calls, they'd be like, all right, everybody, no one can go home until we sell this many things. We might be here until midnight, but we have ping pong.
Yeah.
You can take a break and do, if you get burned out, man, take a ping pong, drink a Red Bull, and do a ping pong break. That's the type of boiler room sales environment I had last time I was in Columbus.
That's fucking cool.
Dude, they
man.
Were pumping us full of Red Bulls. It was crazy.
Yeah, did they have a Red Bull refrigerator?
They did. And the managers would just deliver them to you. Like, they were assholes about it and everything else. But like, we promise if you ask for a Red Bull, we'll get one for you. Just want to fucking hit them in the face with the phone.
That feel you should have gone in there with one of those purple drinks, like the Melatonin or a Bob Marley Mellow Mood.
Oh, yeah. They would have been pissed.
I'm feeling irony over
no work stoppage. We're going to bust you for trying to start a union if you drink... You're monkey wrenching.
Yeah, we know what you're doing over there.
We require call volumes to be at a Red Bull speed, not a Bob Marley speed.
What's in there? Is there Valerian root in there?
Hell no. We don't want any of that. No Valerian.
No. Only Red Bull.
Extracts?
Yeah. Extracts.
No extracts.
Yeah. Taurine. The only they thing that's allowed to be in this place is taurine, okay? Guarna. Those two things are allowed to be here.
Yeah, have you heard about the magical powers of the guarna root? It energizes you for work and actually makes you do better instead of sloughing off and staying in a hammock and playing a fucking ukulele all day.
God, work is so... They really do, like... In an office, they have to keep you awake. Like, I never ran I never ran into any of that where I work because people were just like, well, mainly because they'd be like, you'd see your boss once in the morning and then you would go take off and they wouldn't have to look at you yawning all day.
Yeah, I mean, you were driving around and moving around as part of your job, but you're right. Part of the working, besides getting the work done, is those managers have to keep everybody at like a higher level of energy. And now they're all like, hey, we do it just like the Japanese and we make you work out, you know, every fucking 4 hours or whatever it is. Like, they have all these new ways for basically, you know, to keep you motivated, to keep cracking the whip without just like cracking the whip.
I worked in a call center for 2.5 years and it was such a it didn't even feel like I belong, like it felt every day like they were just gonna fold up shop and be done.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know how. I knew that I couldn't fit this job was not going to be how I was going to retire because it feels so volatile.
Well, yeah, there's a guy actually, he was like the Alec Baldwin from Glengarry Glen Ross. And he was like, you know what, guys? I can go anywhere in the fucking world, and as long as there's a phone, I can make a sale, and that means I can make money. And I don't have a college degree, and that doesn't mean shit, because I made 6 figures last year.
Yeah, in such a high-pressure environment. How many hours and then all that pressure?
And lying. I mean, straight up lying to get sales. I mean, that's how those people are under such extreme pressures. And when I was finally doing monitoring and you hear how people get shit done, it's like, this is illegal. This is fucking illegal.
Yeah.
They can't make these claims, you know? They can't. These salespeople. And it was a really good system because you would, after the person make the sale, they never had to talk to the customer ever again. So they were never confronted with like anything that they said. Customer service, which was blinded by what was going on in sales, was responsible for cleaning up all these fucking messes.
Okay, so yeah, the people in customer service were like the people who were paid like $9 an hour.
Right. They didn't get sales money.
Sit in there and get screamed at the whole time. I did that job for a while in a different... I did tier one...
Retention.
No, it was called tier one internet support, like technical support. Oh. at a call center. And like, I'm the person that nobody wants to talk to.
Right.
Because they call in and say, give me somebody who can do something.
Right. Well, yeah, no, but the customer service retention was the department. And it was really basically all day long, people are going to call and cuss at you, scream at you. You just have to be able to fight off that and figure out what they need and give it to them and then be done with it. I mean, but you're taking the brunt of so much fucking emotional abuse. It's insane.
Yeah, I've met a lot of people that have done jobs like that, high level collections. I've known people, and it, like, I mean, it hurts those people's souls inside to do that job.
It is
like,
tough,
the
man.
The people I've met, none of them have lasted for very long before they're just like, I can't do this.
We knew a student debt collector that had a come to Jesus moment that was just like, this is impossible. Like, I've somehow made my life work and happy. My life is happy and I can afford everything, but I am also miserable and I'm going to now risk everything and just leave this. You know what I mean? Cause it is tough. I mean, when I did, I had to quit collection just from listening to people's stories. And then when I knew how much Discover Card was fucking people over and I would look through their accounts, I'd be like, these people, I mean, you borrowed $100 from them and they're trying to get you for $1,300. This is fucking insane.
Yeah. But you can't begrudge people. Like, I know people that have made good livings doing collection.
Oh yeah.
You know,
oh, like, I get it.
There are a lot of houses.
A lot of BMW drivers that do collections.
I'm saying that, yeah, and there are a lot of houses that the kids eat because somebody does collections.
Sure.
All day at Discover Card.
Right. No, that's how the world goes around. But I eventually, it wore off. I mean, I'm able to shut some shit off, and I'm like, I'd rather not just show up here all day and, like, talk to people at, like, some of their lowest points in life, you know?
Yeah, I never did. But when I worked at the cable company, I rarely did disconnects for non-pay. Like, they would give me big piles of them and say, hey, see how many of these you can get done today. And I would just shove them under the chair and or never do them. I'm like, ah, shit, you know, all my work filled up the day. I didn't have any time.
Yeah.
Wasn't able to do any of those because I always felt so terrible. Like, and I remember in the orientation for that, they would be like, some kids just, if the kid sees you or if somebody asks you, say, well, mommy and daddy should have paid their cable bill and I wouldn't be doing this. And I was like, I would never, I don't ever want to say that
Holy
to a person
shit.
In my entire life.
There were people that would do that collections too, because people would get their kids to answer and they would say, your mommy and daddy is not paying their bills and they need to talk to me about it.
See, that doesn't need to happen. That is like, what does that say about the world that you're willing to do that? I know that, like, yeah, I didn't do very much at the cable company, but I have done non-pay disconnects in my life and it feels terrible.
That's funny. You know? One time we did have a disconnect that was on for like 4 months afterwards. Like, I was like, the letter said they cut it off, but we literally have all the channels. And I'm wondering if it's someone that just dipped out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it happens a lot. That's a big problem.
You're saying disconnect. You mean actually
go to the box and
take the wire out.
Take the wire out. Yeah.
So not like, just like, because they would. How would they know? How would they be able to tell whether or not the signal is going to the place?
They don't. They couldn't. You just,
the signal is fired out and split from that box, and from there, that's all they know.
But they come out and check every once in a while. If you get caught saying you did them and not did them, that is fired the first time. So I just never said I did them.
And never got fired, though.
No, I didn't get fired from that job. I just would, like, be like, they'd be like, here's a stack of these, because they were in between contractor companies, because they usually hire contractors to do that, because they hire all sorts of different contractors so that nobody can unionize. There's, you know, they can control the amount of people in the cable company. And they would give us these stacks of them, these big stacks of like 30 of them, and say, hey, when you're done doing your jobs, if you're just sitting around, go do these non-paid disconnects. And they would give you a pile of them every couple of days. And I would just stuff them under a chair until I couldn't stuff them there anymore. And then throw them in the dumpster and start over.
That's like incredible.
And they would just be like, how many of those things did you get done? And I'd be like, oh, man, you know, I went to a couple and there were dogs in the yard and I couldn't do anything. And I just... you know, ended up, but there were dudes there, though. There were people there that would be like, I don't give a shit if there's a dog in the yard. I'll kick the goddamn dog. I'm going to get this disconnect. You know, but like,
yeah,
it took a lot. It took a lot for me to do things like, I didn't like doing that at all. I felt really terrible about it. And like, I never felt bad for one of these big companies I worked for. I never felt bad when I worked at, like, I worked at Kroger, the grocery store. And I just remember that the way that the bosses treated me. And then I remember me standing in, how much they paid me, the way the bosses treated me. And then I also, the other vivid memory I have is standing in the dairy cooler and watching people steal because it was by the magazine section. I just thought it was hilarious. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just was like, man, everybody's stealing from this place.
Yeah, my biggest, I mean, one of the biggest time theft things I had was actually at that horrible boiler room company. I eventually got the social media position, and I think I mentioned it last week, that Street Fight began because I was basically doing myself on the job. But I got so ostentatious about it that I would literally pitch projects and then do nothing. Like, I would go and say, like, we need to offer these new Facebook pages, and I'd have this whole idea on how to do it, and they'd be like, this is fucking great, Brett. Let's do it. And then I would just go back to my computer and do Street Fight Radio. They never checked on it. They never were like, how'd that project roll out? They never wanted to see the thing. But I would do that all the time. And they'd just get them real jazzed up and excited about the ideas I had, but never deliver.
That is a perfect con man's work. That is beautiful to me. Like, it's just every time they were kind of let down by you, you'd be like,
oh, I have a great idea, though. I have a much better idea. That was a terrible idea. I didn't do that one and sat at my desk for the last 2 months because that was a real bad idea. I meant to get you that memo.
Actually, I sat at my desk and I tried to work it out every which way that I possibly could.
I mean, I spent 6 months on this thing. Every day. I didn't take any phone calls. I didn't answer any emails. I just thought about this project. And I realized, can't do it.
Yeah. Not going to be good, but here's a new thing that I have.
What we can do.
I could roll this out within the next six to eight months.
Right. I can have a good sit down and think in session. My brain, you know how I am, man? I'm cerebral.
I don't write anything down because it's all up here.
Right.
I don't have files. I don't have anything I need to look through. This is the fucking singularity.
Right. I'm assembling it all live. Why? As you see it, I'm pulling up using all the tools and all the information. But until then, I mean, it's nothing. It won't make you a dollar.
That's been such one of my favorite things about my DMs this month is that people are still telling me like shoplifting and time theft.
I got some
stories. Yeah. And when people start telling me their time theft stories, like, the theme is so cool that there's a lot of people who their boss doesn't know what they do and neither do they really. And they're just like, I mean, like, I just go to a place and that, like, I don't know. Like, I
that has been a lot of people. There's a lot of people I know that are like the type of assholes that look down on people that have also been super drunk with me and been like, shit, man, I'm doing like 12 hours of work a week, man, and I'm drunk. I drink every, you know, 3 days out of the week. And they don't check. There's lots of people in that situation.
Yeah.
But those people sometimes also think that they could be fired at any moment.
Oh, yeah, they're throwing up. That was me. That was, you know, a lot of my time as a cable guy, I would throw up every morning thinking they were going to fire me. And it's like, because I was not doing anything. I was just really just taking a paycheck. And on top of that, you know, a lot of times claiming overtime for fucking nothing, you know, because I was loafing around. Actually, we had a story from somebody that said they would fall asleep. You had a story.
Oh, yes, I did. We got this from, she put it on Twitter. So Filmy Girl, friend of the show, FilmiGirl, said that she worked, and this is outside of the statute of limitations when this happened. And she worked at graveyard shift at a diner, and the dishwasher would save all the dishes until like 5 in the morning and then go and work overtime.
Yeah, I did that a lot when I was at the cable company.
He did it every single night. So I'm guessing...
He created a process in which...
he could get paid the money he deserved.
Yes.
So he said the rest of the time he'd be back there sleeping or whatever, not a bad deal, although we used to yell at him. I mean, he deserved to get yelled at if shit runs out. Yeah.
That's part of the job is yelling at the dishwasher. Any dishwasher.
Well, and if he's not doing his shit, man, I mean, you got to keep a couple clean plates.
I've never worked anywhere where I was a dishwasher that everybody didn't just constantly yell at me.
So I'm guessing what would happen is 5 a.m. he would start doing the dishes, and morning boss comes in at like 6 or 7, and he's got the whole night's dishes there, and he's like, Jesus Christ, again? Well, where you got, looks like you're working overtime. I'm like, oh, shucks, boss. Don't crack the whip too hard.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, no, you're going to pay me $18 an hour now?
There's a lot of third shift people that get paid to like watch TV and sleep. Like they go to their job and just, or read. Like a lot of people that work third shift just want time to read. When people will just shut up, you know, that's customer service jobs.
Pretty much.
There's a lot of customer service jobs that are third shift so that people don't have to actually deal with the people. Like, well, we'll stuff you into this lifestyle. You know, you'll have to serve a few customers, the craziest ones.
Yeah, you're responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah, third shift is a different crew of people, though. It really sucks. They get left out of society, the night walkers. You're one of them.
I know. But I don't feel left out of society. I get to be around a lot of people. But yeah, I'm out at night a lot. I wish more people felt comfortable being out at night because it rules.
It is fun. And there's so many lights in town, but Columbus is a ghost town at night. I mean, if it's not Thursday through Saturday, it's ghost town out there.
It really is. There's nothing going on. And that's what I really like about it.
Well, that's the reason to be around for. You can't get any errands done. You don't have to do shit. And yeah. And you can do whatever. You can feel like you can take over the whole fucking city.
Yeah. And like, there's not a lot of, I mean, I guess most cities don't die at that time. Like, you can go in the middle of this city and nobody's there. It doesn't necessarily die every night, but it slows down considerably from what it is during the day.
Right. Well, and even in DC, there were some times when we were walking at like 1 or 2 in the morning and like surrounded by a crowd of fucking people. Like, why is everybody at this intersection right now?
This is my time, man.
It's supposed to be sleepy time.
Yeah.
No, there's like 100 fucking people there at 3 a.m. just standing around. And they look like they're going to class and shit. They don't even look like all fucking drunks.
No.
It's just literally night people.
Yeah. I love being out at night, man. It's the best.
Third
shift people. That is, I've never worked a third shift job, though. I guess I kind of do now. I work until like 2 in the morning sometimes.
That's nice. I mean, there was a guy I worked with. He was like, I made donuts with him, and he's like, I love working the shift, man. I fucking get headaches all the time. I fucking hate people. This is the best for me. You're cool, though, man. You're cool. You're not like everybody else. I fucking hate everybody. That was one of like my best dudes.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that hate everybody.
You're right. I mean, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of people that hate. I hate everybody in a way, but I'm not that outwardly. Like, I'm not trying to only be awake when everybody else isn't.
That's not, you don't try to project your hate.
No, no.
Like, you're like, I'm uncomfortable mostly. Everybody,
and I pick reasons. Like, he was just like the human animal he hated. There was no any of them. Didn't matter what color or stripe you were. He hated you.
Yeah.
The fact that you were just going to be another person talking to him while I had a headache.
Talking to him about fucking donuts.
Donuts, yeah. Things. Glazings and shit.
I can get that, though, man. I understand being a guy that likes to work really late at night. I do, too.
I
like
loved,
doing social. I like doing jobs where you talk to a lot of people. I've always worked in customer service my whole life. I've never, like, you know, even driving just feels like customer service now, you know?
Right.
I like doing it.
I have actually worked several overnight jobs. I have, like, an affinity for it as well. Like I did overnight restocking. I've done overnight customers at Meijer, 24-hour fucking Meijer. You're right, with the lunatics that come in the middle of the night at a Meijer.
Yeah.
The people that want to ride fucking bicycles when they're super drunk and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking people that are just can't have nowhere to sleep and it's too goddamn cold outside, so they create a nuisance until they get arrested and shit, man.
Yeah.
It's a fucking wild world.
It's hyped up it's like, customer service. Like third shift is hyped up customer
hazard
service.
Hazard pay customer service.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why you get a shift differential. You don't get around, be around people. But there's a lot of people that love it, man, because they can work third shift, go home and sleep while their kid's at school, and then wake up and hang out with their kid until it's time to go to third shift.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's the life for a lot of people are living.
Yeah. So once your kid's in school all day, working third shift almost even makes sense if you're a night person, because I don't think it makes sense that everybody has to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Like, yes, we've had
and
this
work
discussion.
Until 5. I hate that.
Some people are some people, we do get a mention of people that love being up at 6 a.m.
Yeah,
but which is fine, but gotta let us night owls have our place.
Yeah, let me sleep till 2. Let the time I'm awake be the time that I like of the day.
All right, so I got another story here. This is an anonymous one, but, you know, it's not a very crafty. This is a straight-up stealing one.
I like straight-up stealing.
I love the brazenness of just stealing.
Yeah.
Stealing.
Yeah.
So this guy that worked at Target, he was worked in the stock room, and his friend at work shows him that you can scan things out and then change the price to zero.
Okay.
Which, good idea, right? I mean, that's
smart,
the best price that there is. That's a communist price.
Very communist price.
So he marks things out at zero by selecting 2 out of the 5 available products. Makes sense. Throw a yogurt on there, pack of Skittles, PS4 for $0. And so, that's what he got. He got PS3s and iPods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
out the back door, man. And he started making a business out of it, which is good because I used to do that when I worked at the toy store. We had a video game cabinet and I was like, come take a look, man. When I was at school, I would literally be like, any of you kids want a video game? Come to my store. If you pay me $30, I'll give you anything out of the fucking cabinet. The games were $50, so I was making it enticing, you know. Brand new games, man.
Yeah. That is a smooth way to
he
be
did
popular,
the same.
Though.
It is. It helps. He did
teens.
This.
Teens. If you're a
don't
teen,
hire teens.
This show.
And especially teens. They always tell teens you can't get in trouble if you're not 18, too. That's like when I was so willing to do more of that, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Actually, I have a story, Brett.
Well, so let's.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I guess that is the story. I thought there was more. There's a lot here. Written.
Okay.
Oh, this is a bad. Well, let's spoil the story. He did get caught.
Oh, I hate it when they get caught.
But this is also sad. His mom was cool with a local cop, so he didn't go to jail for nothing.
Well, I mean.
And he is a black Native American man, so that is a win.
That's a win. But
that's
yeah,
a win.
Somebody
he avoided,
that didn't go to jail won.
But cop privilege prevailed.
Yeah, always. It's the top. It's the top privilege, really. But everybody hates you. That's
true.
You
have
pay.
To put up with the hatred.
Yeah. I actually had somebody in from, I was driving somebody from Austin, Texas to the airport this week. And she was just the nicest person. And we were talking about, we were stuck in traffic in this little area. And this cop was standing like in the middle, directing traffic. And screaming at every car that drove by. And just...
Scream during the game?
Not even during the game. Just during rush hour traffic. They were doing construction by an exit ramp and that goes to the airport. Which is important, one of the reasons rush hour is bad because a lot of people go to the airport during that time.
Right. But
this construction work needed to be done then.
They were probably behind.
Yeah. This was emergency construction work. And the cop was like telling people they couldn't get on the freeway. And then people from out of town were like stopping and being like, well, how do I get there? And he's like, I don't know. Go in a circle.
That's
it's really becoming apparent to me that cops are just hired to stand around outside and scream at people.
Well, I saw that. I used to live near the can't remember the name of it. TCU, that Dallas Christian College, that purple team. But I lived right on like the other side of the bridge of the college campus, on like this strip where there was a bunch of bars where you could get like 100-ounce margaritas and shit like that. Wow. Fucking oysters. Campus. Tons of oysters for like a dollar each. And one time we had a friend, one of Erica's like interns from work, wanted a ride from our house up to something. She was going up there. And there was just a cop in the middle of the road saying, "Move! Go! Now!" And like nobody can move. People are like, if they would have to like start pushing on the bumpers of the other car and literally like pushing forward with their car, there was nowhere to move.
I know they do it all the time.
And so this lady's out there screaming, "Move," and this guy accidentally goes through on the wrong turn, and the woman comes up to the door and starts screaming in his face, and he says something back and gets yanked out of the car and fucking arrested.
Of course they scream and scream and scream, and they're all fired up out there. They're just,
and then they
like,
have to back it up.
Yeah, it happens so much during any kind of games.
The OSU games are horrible for it.
Although, interestingly enough, during the soccer game, they weren't that mean, but they had lost the soccer game.
Okay.
So everybody was very, like, down.
Solemn.
Yeah, it was like, oh, we're all going to the car, we lost the soccer game, traveled all the way across the country to get here, and we lost.
Yeah.
So now I'm in this city until tomorrow, and I'm just going to go home and go to bed.
Aren't they supposed to tear shit up, though?
Soccer fans?
Yeah.
Not
the American
the ones that are here.
They're stealing hooligan valor?
No, not at all. They're like, you know, they're like just
polite.
I like soccer, dude. I'm coming from.
I like scarves.
Yeah, I'm into scarves. I like this vibe, man. This is my thing. And they weren't that mad, and they weren't screaming at them. But they do scream. It's probably not necessarily like a white privilege thing, because. And not all white people go to soccer, but are a class thing, because they also scream at people at Blue Jackets games. They'll go on a screaming spree at Blue Jackets games.
That's true. The Blue Jackets is more in the middle of the city, though. Like, there's a lot of traffic that runs by that stadium. And it's actually a hockey stadium that is right next across the street from a minor league baseball stadium. It's like the biggest clusterfuck they could have put together.
Yeah, and there's a lot of screaming. Just a lot of cops screaming. That's the thing I'm getting at.
It's Tuesday from 4 to 6. There's no walking in an eastward direction.
This vibe is not good. Like, I don't know what you think that does for tourism of your city. Hey, it's beautiful. The Midwest, everybody's so relaxed, you know. It's the birds are chirping and everybody's really nice, and the police stand on the street and scream at you all the time.
Oh, yeah, I got screamed at one of those notorious Columbus cops. It's great. They called me a fucking chunderhead.
They're just it's the job, man. Which I mean, they would never announce it, but there's such a blight on society, really. Just a guy standing, and really, there was this person in front of me. Let me just bring this up because you'll like this. There was a person in front of me that had like a sticker on the back of their car for a private school in town, right?
Yeah,
they pulled up to the cop and was like, "Can I just turn there?"
Sir, here's my recent tax return. You'll see I made over $400,000 last year, and can I proceed on to the path?
He screamed at him.
He screamed at him? Oh, yeah. Listen up, you yuppie prick! I don't give two shits how much you paid for your loafers. You listen to me!
You're going to goddamn go that way. Because that's what he kept doing. He kept pointing the only way you could go.
Okay. That's all he had. He's pulling his hair out. This is the only direct. There's nowhere to go. Why don't you get it? The public is hard to deal with.
Fuck it, though. I can do it without screaming.
Yeah. They need to do it as like a buddy. Just so that you have someone to like commiserate with, you know? Like, these fucking idiots. No, it's over there. God damn it. Yeah, over there. The only way.
We need to figure something out.
Yeah, it needs to change. I don't like this system. Get a robot out there to just bark orders. That's something that a robot can do.
A robot
fucking
cop.
Speaker on a stick.
A speaker on a stick. Just put a speaker on a stick outside.
Turn right, you morons!
Such a nasty vibe, man. It is always. And I have so many people in the car with me, like during OSU games, where they're just like, these cops, man, they are just high strung.
Yeah.
But then they always do a qualifier where they're like, you know, they don't want to be out here anymore. And I'm like, good.
Finish it. You have to say the old wise.
They don't want to be out here any more than you do.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
I do want to be out here, though. I want to be out where things are happening. I don't want to be screamed at, though.
This is enjoyable. I've walked on streets and been in crowds all my life. I don't need any extra assistance right now.
They bust people for underage drinking on
a college campus.
That's true. And you're just like, what are you doing, man? Just ignore everything, okay? Just ignore it.
Yes, this is the culture we live in. Ignore it.
Shut up. Stop okay? It. So, man, yeah, we have I want to do a stealing story, though, too.
More stealing?
Yeah, one last stealing story, because we asked for these, man. So, first of all, I want to bring up, oddly enough, this person didn't steal much when they were a teenager. They didn't start till they were 20 or 25.
Wow. I mean, sometimes it takes a while to figure it out.
That's when I got scared to steal. Like, I just look at things and I'm just like, I can't take it. I can't. I'm very like, I can't shoplift at all. I have to justify it or neutralize it in some way by being like, well, I just pay less because I screw over but I'm paying them some money, but I'm so scared to get caught.
Yeah, I think I moved away from physical goods as well. Like, that's when I started figuring out how to do digital crimes and like tag switching. You could do tag switching back in the day.
yeah.
Returns, we would do fucking the Walmart return shit.
Tag switching was the best. Like, that was a gentleman's crime, really, because you couldn't go too far on it.
Yeah, and it was like, no, you caught me. I'll leave. Please feel free to take my photograph and put it on the corkboard. If this isn't the first time I've been found out, I'm not embarrassed at all. I have simply lost a game, and I'm not a sore loser. But I really need that Teflon pan set. I really do, and I'm not going to pay $100 for it, but I'll pay $29. It's like a pre-haggling. Yeah, you were going to mark it down anyways. You were going to clearance the shit for $29 anyways. Give me the damn Teflon pan.
Yeah. Gentlemen, it's like fucking a heist guy. It's like Michael Caine would play the tag switcher.
Well, it's like you walk into the store and they have the bulletin posted that's like, you know, if you try to take merchandise past the receivers, they're going to tackle you and prosecute you, you know, but they don't say anything about what happens to the stickers inside of the store if you don't leave. You know, they don't explain what happens if the stickers change on the items.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they can't really. They can't beat you up for it, but they can catch you and be like, come into the office. And then you get to say the classic line. Am I being detained?
Yes. Yeah, that's when you get to flex your muscle there. Because that's not against the law. I don't think tag switching is against the law.
Yeah.
Not my law.
I don't think so. Yeah, not natural law. Not like sovereign citizen law. Not that I can see. Not that I've read in my constitution.
I mean, I did. I mean, you know what? I kind of think, like, I always think that I matured at, like, he says he started stealing at 20 or 25. And I feel like I matured, but that's only been in like the last 4 years that I've matured. And from 20 to 25, now that I think about it, I know I was stealing some stuff.
You're probably stealing, yeah. Yeah, 20 to 25 is
Primes. That's because I don't have. I can finally don't have to hide it in my house so my parents don't see it. You know, like you can finally have a treasure trove and display all of your stolen stuff.
I was at the height of my power at 25 or 26. Really, like that was at the height of my like. Really, that's I was just living the scum life, the real scumbag life, you know.
Right.
But this person said this was back when Axe was big. And for some
Axe is still big, baby.
Yeah, they make an anarchy kind, man. But he would steal it from Walmart. And because you can find the blind spots, he used to get all their toilet, all his toiletries there, razor blades. He would take them out of the pack and always had a sick electric toothbrush or, and variety of. So basically just stole all the toiletries at Walmart, which I mean, that's I don't have any problem with
that's
that.
Jean Valjean style stealing, that's, man. That's like necessities.
Yeah. It's like this dude needs deodorant to get a job. They should just be handing deodorant out.
If someone, they catch someone stealing deodorant, she'd be like, take it and get out of here, stinky ass.
Yeah.
That is true. Walmart is very easy to shoplift from. There was a guy that I used to hang out with that dropped out in 10th grade, and he would play bootleg PlayStation games all day long. When we got out of class or skipped, we would go to his house and take him to Walmart and then tell him what games we wanted, and he knew all the blind spots in Walmart. And these were computer games at the time, so they would just be those boxes.
Because they don't give a shit about the computer games. Like, nobody in there understands.
Nerds were not stealing them.
Yeah, the people that even work in the electronic company section is like,
nobody buys these.
I mean, what the fuck are these things? So, they look like the other games, but they suck.
Right. So we would go, and so he would just like shell that thing like a fucking peanut, like so fast. We would walk in and, you know, there'd be a camera down one aisle and a camera down another aisle. And as soon as he hit a corner, it would be a blind spot and he would just pull it out of the box and he'd have the disc. And then we would walk out. He was also very quick. That's what anybody that's younger and wants to start stealing, you have to be quick. You start hemming and hawing and making it obvious that you're having like a moral decision in the middle of the store. And you're fucking taken. You have to walk in, grab something, and put it in your pocket like you own it, and then leave.
Yeah, I get that moral dilemma. I get that, like, why am I doing this? I shouldn't be doing this. What if I get caught? You know, I've been caught in my life. So it's like, I don't like doing. My wife's been caught, too. We've all been caught, you know? Everybody in this world's been caught shoplifting, right?
I have.
Yeah, once. It's embarrassing. So,
my friend, I mean, all my friends, too, now that I'm trying to think of when they got caught. My one friend got caught stealing condoms, so that was like a double whammy.
Did they make fun of him? Did the people, like, you ain't fucking anybody.
That's the appropriate response. Man, little pinprick dick, like, you ain't doing shit, man.
You don't need these.
Yeah, you even got hair on your nuts.
That's perfect. That would have made that person never steal again.
Yeah, they want to, like, I'm gonna pay for these. I'm gonna fucking pay for these in front of everybody. Yeah. I want that guy to catch me again. Humiliate you.
I hate that would be bad. He talks about the grocery store. They would steal expensive steaks and cheese and seafood, which I would have never thought of that. They're probably not looking for shoplifters in that section at all. You know, yeah. Do people really go in and steal like expensive steaks and seafood?
I think they do. They have
people put steaks down their pants. I have seen enough people put steaks down their pants. And then you know what they do with them? They put them in a cooler and they drive them around the neighborhood and they sell them to people and say they're from their farm out of town.
That's a great scam.
It's a guy that has a pickup truck with one of those cooler chests on the back of it. He steals a bunch of steaks by putting them down his pants and then wraps them in white and paper and sells them to rubes in the suburbs.
One of the most legendary stealing scenes from the movie Kids, when he tucks his pants into his socks so that he can shove 40s down his zipper.
Yeah.
And they don't fall off the bottom of his pants.
Yeah.
Some sort of apparatus like that is nice. I used to do that as well. When I used to steal from Blockbuster all the time, I had a razor blade, and I would cut open the back of the box, like not from where it opens, from the crease where it bends, and I could pull the disc out. And their metal detectors were so short that I would just palm the disc in my hand and like scratch my head as I was walking out. So that, like, any of the RF receiver on top of the disc wouldn't be read.
You're the head-scratching bandit.
Yes.
They're like, this is
Damn it! He got another GameCube game again. We lost our Smash Brothers.
He's the lice boy bandit. Like, this dude.
Itchy head Brett.
Itchy head kid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is that how they caught you? Like, you was doing it the same way all the time?
No, I never got caught doing that.
Like, I had a good buddy that was really into stealing cigarettes, and he ended up getting caught because he was just doing it three times a day.
It's when you get arrogant. I got arrogant with my stealing, too. I think I was like, fuck it, man. I want some more jeans. Let's go fucking steal some. I'm tired of this shit. I wanted to go steal these jeans. And they're a pair of IOU jeans from Schottensteins. And so I roll up there. I got a fucking backpack. Put my rollerblades in the backpack and then like a dumbass can proceed to walk into the store and try to shove shit into my fucking backpack.
Like a character from Hackers.
Yeah. Looking, wearing, I think I had a giant plastic yellow wallet chain and like JNCO jeans that had like 48 inch openings on the bottom and fucking maybe blue hair at the time.
I'm fixing to steal.
Yeah.
I was
stealingest looking person that came in here today.
I used to always tell this story where I got pulled over with my wife when we were first, very early when we were dating. Like, I was 18 or maybe I was 20 or 21, and we got pulled over, and they like treated her really nice, and then they pulled me out of the car and they searched me because I was wearing like big JNCO jeans and like a heavy metal t-shirt, and then a 3X. I weighed 110 pounds. I was wearing a 3XL army jacket.
Right.
And
like you had a gun under there.
Yeah. And my hair was like really fucked up, man. And they just pulled me out and searched.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
We need to give you a once over.
And I used to always wonder why, like, people follow, like, man, people say that, like, they don't follow white people around, but they follow me around whenever I'm in the store. And I'm like, I look like a goddamn thief.
You were dressing. You were literally asking for that kind of heat.
I know. I know now.
Yeah, you should have thrown on a fucking plaid shirt and parted your hair on the side. You can steal all you want.
Well, that's how I live now. I look like every guy that works at Home Depot.
Right.
Like, that's my camouflage, really. I can go through life looking like a guy that sells toilet parts at Home Depot.
You can disappear in a crowd. You could just run into a crowd of people. I don't know. I don't know where he's at.
Go buy a craft beer and just, like, take my hat off.
Stand on the side, just, yep. Yep. Start throwing a Frisbee around or something.
I can disappear in a day. I don't even have any tattoos, man. I could join a church. People would be like, I've been studying Jesus all these years.
Right. Converted. Ages ago.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. That was it. We did a show.
That's the damn show.
That is it. That was a good one. I had a good time doing that.
It was fun. I don't know if we talked about that stuff before. Sometimes I feel like I've said that stuff, but
you know what? If we said that stuff, sorry, we did three shows this week.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. We have a lot of work going on right now. And we've been writing as well, which is a lot of work that we signed up for because we're now doing monthly live shows. For those of you that support us on Patreon, patreon.com/streetfightradio, if you donate $5 or more, you'll get access to those live shows. Last month we did Street Fight versus Death. We gave you the whole rundown on ghosts and the supernatural. This month we're doing an attack on Black Friday. It's officially called Make Black Friday Red. We're going to talk about all the things we can do, like we did on the show, to fight back against the companies that are stealing our Thanksgiving from us. So stay tuned to that. It's happening November 26th. That's the Small Business Saturday. And at 7 p.m. the doors will open. At 8 p.m. the show will commence, and we'll do that and then hang out afterwards as usual. You can get tickets at store.streetfightradio.com, just $5 to get in, and you'll get access to the show as well if you buy those tickets online and have your email address. I think that's about it. Thank you to everybody that keeps coming back, keeps amplifying our message, keeps retweeting, faving, liking, sharing, all of that stuff. It really does help to get more people involved. And if you're ready to take it to the next level, you can support us financially, which is what we need to save our wives from wage slavery. Do that by buying something in the store, store.streetfightradio.com, or heading over to our Patreon. You can sign up, you know, by the end of the month. It happens on the first of every single month. So right when rent comes out, you can send your support to Street Fight in the form of a record or some Kratom. I just sent out all the Kratom. People are getting it at Super Borneo this month.
Kratom. You keep saying Kratom.
Sorry.
But I get it.
I'm on just pills and weed.
Hell yeah, man. That's the way to do it.
I actually haven't been high all day. I've been out of weed, but it's nice to feel confused again. I hate having a clear head. It's like the biggest fucking curse of my life.
Those Vicodins that make you feel like you got a clear head too.
Yeah.
Like they don't. You forget you're high off of them and you're just like, man, I feel like I can fucking clean the house and fucking play all these video games.
Right.
Finally.
Yeah. I have a lot more tunnel vision since having my teeth removed.
And your like whole body feels... That's a pretty good feeling.
Floating.
It ain't bad, no.
Yeah, I just don't like it that it doesn't do any of the inspirational stuff. I just feel like it feels like a tranquilizer and it doesn't make me feel crazy. I like weed because it's like literally just stirring up this brain stew and like it just makes all the synapses fire in the wrong ways, and I like that, the disconnect at the switchboard. You can find me on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. I'm at Brett Payne, BRETTPAIN. He's at Murder Brian on Twitter, MURDERBRYAN. For Street Fight, peace. I let a boosters, they let a boosters. You should love them too. Even if they don't know you, they'll get it for you like a whole outfit on shoes. I let a boosters, they let them boosters. You should love them too. Even if they don't know you, they'll get it for you like a whole outfit on shoes. A booster is a person who jacks from the retail and sells it in the hood for dirt cheap resale. In these hard times, they press on like lean nails. And all of my experience, the sex has been female. Back in elementary, my shoes used to rap. Every time my soles hit the street, they would flap. Then in high school, Lexan Anderson would cap, cause my jacket didn't have a brand name on the back. Years later, this lady took me to her apartment. It looked like the Macy's sportswear department. Clothes on the chairs, on the couch, and the carpet. A 20 had me icy like pissing in the Arctic. If it wasn't for the hard work of a booster, most couldn't go to the clubs that were used to. If you don't fit the dress code, they'll boot you. Like people who get dressed up won't shoot you. For some of y'all folks, this stuff might faze you. This ain't the way the society raised you, but most of it was made by children in Asia. The stores make money off of very low wages. Next time you see two women running out the gap with arms full of clothes still strapped to the rack, once they jump in the car, hit the gas and scat. If you have to say something, just stand and clap. I let a boosters, they let a boosters. You should love them too. Even if they don't know you, they'll get it for you like a whole outfit on shoes. I let a boosters, they let them boosters. You should love them too. Even if they don't know you, they'll get it for you like a whole outfit on shoes. Goes out to all them hardworking women who risk jail time just to make them a living. We know there'd probably be no one in prison if rights to food, clothes, and shelter were given. Plus, they be keeping me dressed so fresh, even when my wallet yells SOS. In a cheaper Sunday suit, you feel a little more blessed. So into the revolution that I profess. My shirt is from Stacy, my pants are from Rhonda. My shoes came out the trunk of a baby blue Honda. My wardrobe's in luck if something falls off a truck. If you're looking for some leather, then go see Yolanda. If I'm on the red carpet and they ask who designed this, I'ma give a shout out to Bay Area's finest. All on our own, we survived this with slyness. But when we come together, all our fashion is flyness. I let them boosters, they let them boosters. You should love them too. Even if they don't know you, they'll get it for you like a whole outfit on shoes. I let them boosters, they let them boosters. You should love them too. Even if they don't know you, they'll get it for you like a whole outfit on
shoot it.